If you own a business or run an organization, consider using IPR as part of your marketing strategy. Let us show you how to reach our loyal radio audience, advertise on our digital platforms, and even sponsor your favorite podcast. Spread the word about your business and support IPR at the same time. It's a win-win. Learn more at iowapublicradio.org/sponsors.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Neppe. Later this hour, we'll meet the man behind the Iowa Vaccine Alert Twitter account. He has helped thousands of Iowans find vaccine appointments. But first, Chad Pragracki grew up on the banks of the Mississippi River in East Moline, Illinois. When he was 17 years old, he decided he was going to clean up the river, and he started collecting trash. Literally tons of trash. His mission launched a movement, and he eventually founded the Living Lands and Waters Foundation. To date, they've removed more than 10 million pounds of garbage from American rivers, and they've done a whole lot of other work as well. Now Pragracki has a new idea. It's called the Bison Bridge, and it's a plan to repurpose the soon-to-be-decommissioned I-80 bridge over the Mississippi River to turn it into a national park. Chad Pragracki is on the line with me now. Hello, Chad.
How's it going?
Good. Thank you so much for being on the show again. And all right.
It's good to be back. Thanks so much for having me. It's an honor.
You have actually been thinking about this idea of putting bison on the I-80 bridge or in those whereabouts for a long time. Tell me where this idea started for you.
Well, I grew up right by the Interstate 80 bridge on the Mississippi River, and that's kind of what led me to getting into cleaning up the Mississippi River. And so spent a lot of time around the bridge and all that. And, you know, there's 42,000 cars that are traveling at Interstate 80 a day. And we have the Illinois Welcome Center, and Iowa had the Welcome Center. But the river itself just wasn't getting people to stop, and they were just kind of passing by. And I always thought it would be really cool to have a small herd of bison, just like six or seven. And this goes back like 20 some years. I think in 99, I hired a plane for $120 and hired a photographer from the Quad City Times to go up and take pictures of this. So the idea of having a small herd of bison just to get people to stop and enjoy the area and at least think about the river instead of just crossing it is how it came about. And then, like 5 years ago, it's a crazy thing, but a tornado ripped right through the land that I was wanting to restore, like do a prairie restoration there, and obviously working towards a small herd of bison. And so it looked terrible. And for me, you know, that spot where you cross over into Iowa or you cross over into Illinois, it's your first impression of the state or your last impression of the state. And for where the tornado ripped through in Illinois, it looked terrible. And I thought this is a great opportunity to turn something negative into something positive. So started physically working out about 5 years ago.
Wow. Well, and let's talk about where the bridge comes into play, because the bridge is going to be replaced. It's coming to the end of its serviceable life. And I yep. can't imagine many people immediately thought, oh, you know, we could use that for bison. so tell me how that idea came together.
Well, It came together because I was up going to the Illinois Department of Transportation, you know, every so often, and they'd come down and check the progress of the prairie restoration. And we did a ton of work. I mean, we have lots and lots of money invested, and lots of local people came with their machines and lots of volunteers. So through the process of that over several years, I then heard, I kind of think I heard about it accidentally, that there was a new bridge coming. And then the next time I was driving over the Interstate 80 bridge, which was like the next day, I started thinking about, wow, they're going to tear this down. And then it's so perfect. If you look at it, it's such a perfect, like essentially land bridge. It's not a big monstrosity. It's the most simplistic bridge you could do something like that with. And so I thought, well, maybe I could just make a land bridge, and essentially when the conditions are right, the bison could eat their way over to Iowa, graze in about 50 acres over there, and eat their way back over into Illinois. And so that's where the idea kind of came from, years of thinking about this. And it does. And then so that's the westbound lane would be dedicated to bison. So I called some structural engineers. they said I could essentially put 16 inches of dirt on the existing bridge westbound lane, and for most of the bridge. And then in the center span, that's the longest span, I could put 9 inches of dirt. Then I called up the Ion Exchange up there in Iowa and asked the grass expert up there if how deep the roots were in certain grasses. And he said, yeah, that's very doable. And so, you know, there's a much more to a plan than ideas are great, but they're only ideas. And so I've really worked hard the last probably 2.5 years. I've hired a bunch of experts and really try to formulate this into a solid plan. And it's really come, I think, a lot farther than maybe what I even expected for at this point in time. So it's gained tremendous momentum.
So let's break this down. So you would have, you said about 50 acres on the Iowa side of the bridge. So that would mm-hmm. be also reconstructed prairie, a place for bison mm-hmm. to roam, a place for people to get down by the water and enjoy the beauty of the Mississippi River as well. And then how much land on the east side of the river?
Same, about 50 acres, give or take. I mean, you know, like IDOT's still going through a process of where the new bridge is going to be. And if the new bridge goes directly where the old bridge is, which is not that probable, according to some of the experts I've talked to, then, but, you know, if it does, then the project is dead in the water. But I would say if it does not, and the chances would be we don't think it will be, right over where the old bridge was, we would be able to literally hit the ground running and be in a great position to move this project forward. And, you know, I just want to be the first to say, this sounds crazy. You know, the westbound lane dedicated to bison, eastbound lane would connect a 20-some mile loop around the entire Quad Cities for the two bike paths on each side of the river, would be quality of life. I mean, a lot of positives for the locals for sure. But also, you know, all those cars that are driving by, it really would put the Quad Cities back on the map. So the bison is what hopefully gets people to stop, as well as, but the bigger thing that focuses on is the river and the importance of the river. And so it has so many positives that in the negatives, I think it's going to work.
Well,
I really do.
People can really look at the details of this if they go to bisonbridge.org and really explore this idea. But so the westbound lanes, you mentioned putting the soil there and planting grass so that wildlife, not just bison, but anybody who wanted to roam across the bridge could do that.
Yeah.
And then dedicating the eastbound lanes to pedestrians or bicycles.
Yep.
And how is it safe for bison to walk across a bridge? That's not something, I mean, I know that they have used land bridges naturally, but this would be pretty big. How do you keep the bison safe?
So, I'm not a bison expert. So I have like 3 people on my team now that are. And, you know, like zoos, you know, they keep people safe and animals safe. And there's engineering firms that would work on that. I mean, that's sort of getting down into the weeds, but just the safety of the animals is one thing. It's really kind of cool. This, with all the attention, so many people have asked those questions. And luckily, I have a really good team to be able to help work towards answering all those questions. But the well-being of the animals is certainly a top priority. But, you know, and it's not a huge herd, just like 6 or 7. And so, you know, it's just to really celebrate the animals themselves and what they were. I mean, they were part of Iowa. They're part of Illinois. There was estimated 60 million at one time. And they basically, we shot them all down to less than 1,000. And then a small group of people, including Teddy Roosevelt, served as chairman on the Save the Bison Foundation, I guess it was, and has kept those herds growing since. And so in some ways, this will be a very small part of that and celebrating them of what was once here in Illinois, like is the Prairie State, certainly. And so, you know, I know it really sounds like a crazy idea, but I tried to, you know, do all of my planning. I hired the guy that was in charge of the 74 bridge and in charge of District 2, which is 19 counties in Illinois going all the way to Indiana border around Chicago. And he was first in charge of this. So he retired. I hired him a few weeks later. So he's the top engineer on our team. And then I have like a infrastructure consultant that's been helping us, a bunch of marketing people. And we meet, you know, once or twice a week, and we kicked it off in a big way. And it just in 12 hours, I'm sorry, 6 hours, I had 12,000 people sign up like 3 days ago. And so if you go to bisonbridge.org and check it out, if you like it, I need signatures just to show the Iowa Department of Transportation and the Illinois Department of Transportation that people care about this and they think it's a really good use of an old bridge. Because if we lose the opportunity is one thing, but essentially if they have to tear the bridge down and build another bike lane on the new bridge, the engineer that I've worked with, he estimates between $30 and $40 million to the taxpayers that we'll have to pay to lose the opportunity. So, you know, in so many ways, it's just really a positive deal. And yeah, it's just really, really, it's really good.
So looking at the visualization of the Bison Bridge, again, at bisonbridge.org, you also have a visitor center built into that.
Yeah.
And I'm not worried about the weight of bison on the bridge or the weight of bicycles or some people on the bridge. Obviously, many cars have traveled across this bridge, but it is being decommissioned because, you know, of the concerns that, all right, it could fail. There could be problems with this developing over the years. So does the infrastructure have the strength to support a building, a visitor center?
So what you see on there is certainly, it's conceptual, but it's just what the vision is now, and the public will help shape what it is. And engineers will work towards, you know, building what is capable of there. I think anything is certainly possible. And you know, there's a lot of really intelligent people that can make what you see on bisonbridge.org a reality. And so, but I just want to jump to something else, if I might. But I went and pitched, one of the first people I pitched was Sherry Bustos, Congresswoman Sherry Bustos on the Illinois side. And she absolutely loved it. And then she came up with the idea of this should be a national park. So yeah, that's my A game. A B game.
Let's pick that up in just a moment. We are going to take a short break. So we'll talk about what this might become. And we threw out the idea of a national park earlier in the show. And obviously that would be a really amazing achievement. But we will talk more in a moment about the Bison Bridge with Chad Pragracki. He is the founder of the Living Lands and Waters Foundation. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Brilliant novels, groundbreaking nonfiction, evocative poetry, great books, and insightful conversations whenever you want them on the Talk of Iowa Book Club podcast. Pick the books that speak to you or read them all. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Coming up in a few minutes, we are going to meet the man behind the Iowa Vaccine Alert Twitter account. He has helped thousands of Iowans find appointments for COVID-19 vaccinations. With me right now is Chad Pragracki. You've probably heard about Chad Pragracki over the last 20 years or so. He's been cleaning up the Mississippi River and many American rivers in a big way. He's the founder of the Living Lands and Waters Foundation, and to date, they've removed more than 10 million pounds of garbage from American rivers. And he's also now spearheading a new idea to build a bison bridge, to use the I-80 bridge over the Mississippi River to turn it into a pedestrian and bicycle bridge, but also to dedicate the westbound lanes to a small herd of bison that could roam from some land in Illinois to some land in Iowa and back again. And Chad, just before the break, you mentioned that one of the first ideas was maybe to turn this into a national park. So that's the big dream. But you also have a plan B, right?
Yeah. Plan B would be, you know, two state parks meet in the middle, right at the state line, and an Iowa state park and meets with the Illinois state park. And then a plan C is I started the Bison Bridge Foundation, and, you know, that would take care of the bridge in perpetuity. And I've vetted this out, you know, people think, oh, how would you pay for it? But I honestly, when I pitched this to my board of directors, and it's a wonderful board of directors at Living Lands and Waters, like, I had two of them come up and say, you know, money's not going to be an issue for this. This is so outside the box, so forward thinking, so cool. And if it does become a national park, lots of people from all over this country will support this in a positive way, including the two people telling me that. So I've started vetting this out behind the scenes. You know, I've done so much work behind the scenes to get to this point, to be able to talk to you today and have some of the answers. But all the people I've talked to, no one has said, no, they wouldn't support it. And so I know that money wouldn't be an issue. And I don't have an exact budget for what the bridge would cost to build it to what we want. But I want to not only build it for the bison and bicyclists and pedestrians, but also maintain it for 20 years. And I think that'll help a transition to either a national park, which was the congresswoman on the Illinois side, Sherry Bustos's idea. And so the thing is, if you have a national park, I'm sorry, I want to be able to maintain it for the 20 years. And that's very important to, you know, just, I mean, money is something that every government agency thinks about. And so if we can do it like a public-private partnership, that would be amazing, just like they did at the St. Louis Arch recently with a $367 million renovation that was raised privately. And then they turned it back over to the National Park Service. So I see, you know, another national park is certainly needed. It is the Mississippi River. You already have 42,000 cars traveling on it. You have an audience and you have your local support. And it's a win-win for everybody.
So you mentioned support on the Illinois side. Have you had a chance to talk with some of Iowa's leaders? Are people excited?
Yeah, they very much are. And I did meet with, so because of COVID, I could only give small little presentations in an open air setting. So I bought a 30 by 15 tent and I invited the head of the Iowa Department of Transportation to come down while they were looking at the I-74 bridge that they're building over the Mississippi River just several miles away. He came for lunch and listened to it. And he said, you know, they can't say anything publicly, you know, but he just said personally, him and his wife would come down and just to make a drive here. That's how cool he thought it was. So, you know, Senator Chris Knoyer from LeClaire, which is right there, a town, you know, in Iowa. She was on a Zoom call just last week and absolutely loves it and wants to help out in any possible way. I've made my rounds with all the mayors and everybody I possibly can in this small setting, and then just launched it last week. And it's really kind of, and I think we have over 200,000 views on that video.
Wow.
Just in the last like 9 days or whatever. So yeah, it's been amazing, you know? So
if people are excited about this, how do they get involved?
You can just go to Bice. We're not looking for any financial support. We just want your name, really, that you support this and you think it's a good idea. And if I could just kind of throw this in there into a bigger context, like to make it a national park makes it a destination, you know, makes it an iconic stop on Interstate 80. And people will travel from all over just to come here in the Quad Cities. Like, I'm a Midwest guy, I'm a hometown guy, and I want people to be able to, you know, see the Quad Cities for the wonderful communities that it is. And I think people will come here and I think it'll be very well received, and not just for the Midwest, a positive thing, but a positive thing for the country. And so, my goal is that to make it a national park and definitely, an iconic spot. So.
Well, I know so many people, of course, travel I-80 and travel across Iowa, barely stopping at all. If you travel across Iowa on I-80, the thing that people tend to remember most is the world's largest truck stop. So, you know, and maybe they remember to tell their kids to look out the window when they're crossing the Mississippi River. But this would, in your mind, this would make people take notice.
It would. And just to continue with the bigger focus here. So this is a a story, but very related to this. And I started thinking about it in a much bigger thing in regards to the Midwest. So I was traveling a couple years ago, and I overheard a conversation in the Atlanta airport by a guy who owned this and was publisher of the Southern Business Journal. And he was drinking and bragging to some other random guy about how he flies up to the Midwest and basically steals workers and jobs from the Midwest and gets factories to move to the South. And he was bragging to this guy about how the Midwest is dying and not even keeping up with population growth. So I looked it up, and he's right. This 35% growth is all we've had since 1960. It's not even keeping up with the U.S. population. If you look at the growth in the South, they've grown by 126%. He's right. The warmer weather is stealing our folks and our younger talent. I mean, you got all these big plants around here, and they're going to tell you that it's hard to maintain the younger sort of the younger talent. And they're moving to places like Denver and Nashville and these other places. And I feel like the Midwest is gets overlooked. And is this bridge, the Bison Bridge, a solve all? No, but it gets people to take notice. And it's something outside the box and unique. And we need all the help we can get in those forward thinking projects. And I think this is, and you know, it adds a quality of life. And I think it's just a win-win, and the amount of people that are going to bisonbridge.org is and signing up is really kind of stating, like, I'm not alone. Like, people need it, think it's cool, and I'm happy to drive the ship on it. But it is a large team of people behind me, and they're not all on the phone with you today. But, you know, I think this is going to happen. I'm going to do everything I can to make it happen.
I'm talking with Chad Pograki. He is the founder of Living Lands and Waters Foundation and has dedicated his life to water quality environmental work in the United States, particularly along the Mississippi River. And we're talking about his idea for the Bison Bridge, repurposing the I-80 bridge over the Mississippi River, turning it into possibly even a national park. You can see the visualization of this at bisonbridge.org. And Chad, of course, so much of your work has been dedicated to the Mississippi River. It's a body of water that you are deeply connected to and love, and you've worked so hard to clean it up and really launched a mission among so many other people. How are you feeling about the Mississippi River and the state of the Mississippi River today?
I mean, obviously a really big question, but I'll just try to simplify it. There's been tremendous momentum. You know, I started the organization Living Lands Waters. I've been able to work side by side with over 118,000 people to remove just shy of 11 million pounds now. And, you know, we've worked all over the country, and I know there's a lot of negativity in the news, but the people I work side by side with, and then the crew of people that I live and work with on the barges, we really are making a very noticeable difference. And it's so cool to see the towboat captains, you know, will say, what a difference it's been since you started, or the fishermen or commercial fishermen or recreational boaters, bird watchers. Lots of people notice the difference. And so I feel very good about that. Certainly water quality, you know, there's always a lot of work to do. Don't get me wrong, but, you know, but I must attribute a lot of it to, and this is real. I mean, I really mean this, but you and just the media in general, like, has been really great about just great stories about the Mississippi River and water quality and keeping it clean, and it has made the mission what it is. And also with this Bison Bridge, like, it's just exploded. And I know a lot of people, because you're super popular and got a great following. My dad says hi, by the way. Anyway, throwing that in there, we're just talking about you. You know, you really helped get the word out about so many great things. And I feel very good about where the river is, and just because so many people have changed their ways, and I feel like care about it more and more. And so, yeah, feel good.
Well, thank you for that. If somebody stops and wants to get close to the river, and of course there are parks along the river where people can do that, although you have to work at it a little bit to get off that interchange at I-80. I've always thought that along with you, we could make it a little more accessible. But if somebody stops and experiences just a little bit of the Mississippi River, What do you want them to take away from that impression and to understand about that body of water?
I mean, well, I can just tell you my impression. I mean, everybody will take away a different one, and if it's nothing else, just to stretch the legs or what have you. But, you know, when I drive over the bridge, I'm just like, it's just an amazing river in comparison to all so many other rivers. And every river is special and has their own unique characteristics. But the Mississippi River is, you know, it's probably the most famous river in the world. And the view from that particular bridge looking west is just amazing. And, you know, when you're 100 foot up, it's even more amazing. It gives you a better perspective of just how big and how massive the river is. And so, you know, I hope it's a great impression. And, you know, I just even look at, like, watching fireworks on 4th of July from that vantage point, you could see all the cities throughout the Quad Cities fireworks at one time. It'd be an amazing spot, you know, just going back to the quality of life and stuff. So, yeah. You know, yeah.
I wonder how bison feel about fireworks. I guess we'd find out, wouldn't we?
I don't know, but there's none that'd be close to
no,
there.
No.
I get you with that. Yeah.
So, Chad, I want to talk about some of the other work you're doing with Living yeah. Lands and Waters. Of course, you have not just focused on rivers. You've focused on many environmental causes. And we had the terrible derecho move across the Midwest
yes.
last August, and we
yeah.
lost so many thousands and thousands of trees. Planting trees is one of your big goals right now. Tell me about that.
Yeah. So it's funny. Tomorrow and the next 3 days, we have a nursery that we have with the city of Davenport. They gave us some land to use. We have a barn there, but we have a nursery. We're going to harvest thousands of trees starting tomorrow and over until now, until basically around Earth Day coming up in the next 4 weeks, we'll have given out or planted 156,000 trees. And we'll exceed 1.5 million trees since we started the project about 10 years ago. So, and then in Cedar Rapids, we've been doing a lot with the Cargill facility there and their employees, and then all the different universities and schools there. We gave a bunch of trees, and now we're working with the city and Trees Forever. They're doing a ton of stuff up there too. Those guys are awesome. So yeah, just, you know, trees are just, I mean, they're simple, and it's funny, but my buddy one time was like, he's kind of a mentor and a friend, you know, and we were having a couple beers, and he was like, hey, you know, you're really leaving a legacy. And I never really thought about it till then, but, you know, with the cleaner rivers and the trees, those will grow on way beyond my lifetime, hopefully. And, you know, planting 1.5 million or going for two is a great project to work towards. But again, I'm the one getting to talk to you today, and I feel it's an honor, but it's really a wonderful team of people grinding it out that I work with at Living Lands and Waters, doing the work, and I owe a lot to them for sure, and all the successes. And so it's, you know, it really is teamwork, and that's what I named the barge, is teamwork, because that's what it takes in so many ways, and that's what it's going to take for Bison Bridge is teamwork of people just coming together. And so, you know, I'll take all the ideas on that bridge and criticism too, because through criticism you can come up with good plans to help make it as good as it can. And, you know, I'm just trying to push forward and do the best we can and leave something bigger than yourself, you know?
Well, and you, with your leadership, have given so many people who've had the same impulse of, wow, I wish I could make a difference here. You've given them the opportunity to make a difference, because not everybody was going to build a raft or find a raft and start cleaning up the river on their own. But how do people get involved? I know that you have so many volunteers who help out with all of your projects. How do people get involved with Living Lands and Waters?
Well, I know they can go to our website, Living Lands and Waters. Again, it's livinglandsandwaters.org, and check it out and you know, write us, let us know. We'll get back to you. We can use all the help we can get. But truthfully, not to be self-serving, but there are so many local organizations that, you know, don't have the momentum that we have and that I would say, if you really want to make a difference, you know, just get involved in your local organization. And there's tons of cleanups and people doing cleanups and need for it everywhere in the small rivers and big rivers. And, you know, just really just get involved. If you have a skill set, get involved on the board of directors, you know, use your passion and talent. I mean, that's how you make your town better. That's how you make your state better. That's how you make the country better. And, you know, I just, you know, I would just encourage people to go to their local stuff and work there, you know, do that. It'd be awesome.
Well, thank you so much for working so hard to make things better. Chad, thanks a lot for talking with me today.
Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity, and best of luck to you and have me on anytime. It's a true honor. So thanks for your work and your all you do. So thanks
all
for being.
Well, thank you, Chad. And give my best to your dad, too.
Will do. Yeah, for sure. He just bought a book that you were, I think it's Overstory about trees.
Right,
so
yep.
Thanks for mentioning that. And really appreciate it. Have a great day. And thanks again.
You too. Thanks a lot. Chad Pogracki is the founder of the Living Lands and Waters Foundation. And he's also spearheading the effort to repurpose the I-80 Mississippi River Bridge to turn it into the Bison Bridge. You can see the visualization of this idea at bisonbridge.org. And he's looking for a lot of people who are excited about this idea to get together and make it happen. That's bisonbridge.org. Coming up in just a moment, we'll meet another guy who's making a big difference, the man behind the Iowa Vaccine Alert Twitter account. This is Talk of Iowa.